Hallelujah. Hosanna to the King. You may be seated. This is what they call Palm Sunday, beginning of the, what they call the Holy Week. But, if you look at that, I'm not going to talk about Palm Sunday today, but I did that last year, and it's the same thing over again. So we just acknowledge that it was just a few days before that same crowd that was hollering Hosanna to the King and putting the palm leaves down, and that was something that was a tradition back in those days for the king. Those same people, just a few days later, were hollering, crucify him. And next Sunday, we will celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection. All right? So I just wanted to say that to this, that's what a lot of the churches, they have special events and so forth on that day. But I think the celebration needs to be next Sunday when he has risen as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, today I'm just going to talk about the suddenlies. The suddenly. Today we live in a society that wants instant everything. Hello. Quick service. Great success overnight. Don't work for it. Just get it. Even in the church, we see the church. When I'm talking about the church today, I'm not talking about our local body. There are many local bodies that make up the church, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We really need to focus on the fact that God wants to move by His Spirit in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I am happy to be a part of a church where, and now I'm talking about the local body, where the Holy Spirit is moving, and there is a demonstration of the power of God. Some people don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit anymore. In fact, they don't believe hardly anything. They just go to church. It satisfies their conscience because they went to church. You go to church to worship the King of Kings. It's one thing to go to church, but it's another thing to have a heart change. Come on now. When you become born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a heart change. Things change. You're not the same as you used to be. And that's being born of the Spirit. But when you're filled with the Spirit, that's a different too, right? Anybody experience that? Let's look at a time when God moves suddenly. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now here in these verses, we see that God moved suddenly. The word suddenly here, actually, in the Greek, carries the idea of something that happened that the disciples were unaware of, or it's happened unexpectedly. They weren't expecting it. Throughout the Word of God, we find that God moves suddenly many times. But I want us to look at this a little differently today. As this word suddenly is used here, that is one sense of the word, that's man's view of it. It was something unexpected. They were not aware this is how God was going to move. When something happens suddenly that people are not aware of, it's spontaneous. An occurrence. But what happened on the day of Pentecost, to God, I don't believe it was a sudden thing. I believe that this was his divine plan that he had put into operation. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the prophets talking about the Messiah coming many, many, many years before the Messiah ever came. I believe God works on his own time schedule. I know he does. Don't believe it. I know he does. We have our schedules, and we want our schedules to be. When you plan something, it takes time for it to come into fruition. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have already put down your vacation for this year, 2024, and are making plans for that vacation? Let me see your hands. And it's a long time for that vacation, right? But you're planning for it, and you will talk about it with your friends, with the family, with everybody. And yet, it hasn't happened yet. It unfolds as days go by. After Jesus had appeared to them many times, about 40 times he appeared to different people. And in Acts 1, 4, and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so then the day of Pentecost took place. I believe that this is a part of God's timetable. As a matter of fact, I don't have to believe it, I know it, according to Joel 2, 28 and 29. And this was written many years before the day of Pentecost, just like Isaiah wrote about the Messiah many years before he ever appeared. It said, "It shall come to pass, after that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. And also my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in that day," in those days. This shows that this happened in a plan. Before the Holy Spirit could come, Jesus had to come. Before the Holy Spirit could come, Jesus had to ascend and sit down at the right hand of the Father. That's why he told them, "You wait and go into Jerusalem, wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit." They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. All they know is that's just what Jesus told them, wait for it. They didn't even know when he was going to come. Hello? But as they were together, the Holy Spirit came. Suddenly, as far as they were concerned, it was suddenly because they didn't know when he was coming. So when it appeared, it was a sudden thing. Now, let's look at God moving suddenly again. Let's look at the life of Paul in Acts 9, 1 through 6. Then Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Here we see God moving suddenly. Actually, he moved suddenly in this time because his divine plan for the church was just going into action. And I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecclesia. It was just the beginning, or we might say it was in the infant stage. But it had begun to move outside of the city of Jerusalem. Remember, he told them, you'll be witnesses. Remember, Acts 1:8, you can go read it. Now, here, Paul is persecuting the Christians, and he was planning to go to Damascus and destroy Christians. But we see God realizing what was going on. He never panicked. He didn't say, oh, I got to do something. He knew this. Remember, we study in the Word of God. He knows the beginning and the end. He knew about this and what was going to happen. After the day of Pentecost, he knew what was going to happen. And now he does something about it. I want you to notice that this was sudden to Paul, but I don't think it was sudden to God. You see, God had a plan for Israel. And anybody that stood in the way of that, he took care of. Let's look at it. When Pharaoh would not repent and let Israel go, God suddenly moved with great power against him, and they left Egypt. In fact, Pharaoh and his whole army ended up at the bottom of the Red Sea. Hello? God knows what to do when there is a force coming against the church. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he will give every opportunity for people to repent. And if they don't, then he comes in and takes care of his church. We are a part of the church. Let me tell you this, you don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen. God, if you believe what the Word says and you read it, God will take care of his church, his children. We are just as much a part of We are spiritual descendants of Abraham, according to Galatians 3, chapter 3. The other Israel, they are the natural descendants of Abraham. And God will take care of us. God has a divine plan for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to evangelize the world. We need to get a heart of compassion for the lost, and we need to start bringing them in. Thank God we can come here and we can dance and we can shout and we can praise God for all that He's done for us and all that He's given us. But we need to realize that that's just the icing on the cake. What we are supposed to do is to go out and bring those in that need to be a part of the church so that they do not perish. Let me tell you what, I mean, it's not popular to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. There is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. Somebody said, well, God's not sending people. No, God's not sending people to hell. He's giving them an opportunity to repent and accept Jesus Christ so they can go to heaven. But it's up to them whether they do it or not. And some of them don't even know about it. So that's where you come in to go out and tell them about the church. God will protect you if you will believe Him. I don't care what comes or what doesn't come. I don't care what happens or doesn't happen. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God has a plan for the church, and the church will not go under. Many people are talking about the church. Every time you look on Facebook, you look on this and that, they talk about the church. The church needs this and the church needs that. Well, the real church, all they need to do is activate the Holy Spirit. And those that are not part of the real church, they're playing church. Come on, you might not like that statement, but it is. They go there and somebody gives them a little bitty sermon and they feel good when they walk out because they've been to church, but there's been no heart change. And with no heart change, they are still on their way to the wrong place. Come on now. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We see a lot of it coming against the church right now. But let me tell you what. I believe God will only allow that to happen so long, and then He will begin to do something about it. And that's where we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be ready. Because part of that, now not all of it, but part of that is that He's going to come back and take us out of here, and then all hell's going to break loose on the earth. Go study end times. Study the end times. Study the prophecies. Is that not what it says in the Word of God? How many of you realize that that's what it says in the Word? You know, hey, don't begin to be afraid and cower back. Don't pull back. Hey, this is when we need to step up stronger than we've ever done in our lives and begin to proclaim Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and He's coming again. And the power of the Holy Spirit lives within you, and greater you than he that's in the world. That's what we quote it all the time. Then act like it. You know, God knew what He was doing when He went after Paul. He got a great theologian and a scholar. You study the life of Paul, you'll find out he was a great theologian. He was a great scholar. He was a graduate of the school of he sits under the feet of the great Rabbi Gamaliel. Let me tell you what, he became the torchbearer that carried the flame of the Holy Spirit all over what was at that time the known part of the world. Come on now. Let me tell you something. It's through him and through his writings that we understand who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, what we can do because we're in Christ, what we have because we're in Christ, and where we're going because we're in Christ. You know, it's time that people begin to, in the church, I'm talking about the local church and in the ecclesia, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ worldwide. It's time that we all need to wake up and begin to get involved in reaching out and throwing out the net and bringing in as many. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. He was talking to people, those disciples, Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. He said, I'll make you fishermen of men. People, in other words, that word men there should just be translated, actually be translated people, because it means mankind. Mankind is everybody. Let me tell you, it's time that we begin to throw the net out. It's time that we begin to realize that the end is coming. I don't know when. It will be sudden, but it only will be sudden to us. It won't be sudden to him. It says we don't know the day or the hour. Just like those disciples didn't know the day or the hour that the Holy Spirit would come. All they knew is that's where they're supposed to go. That's what they're supposed to do till it came. Then the Word of God tells us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be a light, a torch that shines out and shines on the path so that those that are lost can come in. That's what we're supposed to do. How long are we supposed to do it? I don't know. Till he comes, and suddenly, and it will come happen suddenly. The Bible says it will. Am I right or wrong? You know, Paul, he had God move suddenly again in his life. We look at this. In Acts 16:20-26, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many straps on them, they threw them in prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, suddenly, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Here we see God moving suddenly in response to two men that were believing him and praying and singing praises to God, when most people would have been complaining, oh God, well, I thought I was in your will. I thought I was doing what you supposed me to do. Look at me now. Look what's happening. No, they wasn't doing that. They were sitting there praising God and singing praises and singing hymns. And suddenly, you know, Wigglesworth says, there's something about believing God that will cause him to pass over a million people to get to you. God knows the future from the beginning. God knows what should happen next in your life, in the life of the church. So let's just experience it by believing God and proclaiming what the Word of God says. Believe in our heart and proclaim with our mouth. God is never at a loss in any situation. God is not lacking in power today. He's the same today as he was when he delivered the children of Israel. He's the same today as he has been all through the Word of God from the beginning to the end. I believe that he is coming again. I believe that we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to realize that it's going to be a sudden thing. Paul and Silas. Now let me say how did God move in all of these situations? God moved in all of these situations because the people were obedient. Paul and Silas were obedient to what God had told them to do. They praised God. They stayed in faith. I want you to notice that that's the same thing that they did on the day of Pentecost when Jesus ascended into heaven. He said, go tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Stay in there until you, the power of the Holy Spirit comes. Listen, that's what God wants us to do today. Today is the day that we prepare for the suddenlies to come into our lives. God planned for us to walk in his plan as a person, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the local body. God has given us the Spirit to guide us, to lead us, and to direct us. We talk about it all the time, but let's live it now. We talk about greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We talk about we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We talk about the power. Let's demonstrate the power. The Apostle Paul, you read it there, he said, thank God for our programs, and we need all of them, okay? I'm not against programs. We need them all. But I want to tell you, what's going to draw the crowd, what's going to draw the people is the demonstration of the power of God. I'm not talking about just a little dance every once in a while. I'm talking about the demonstration of the power of God in delivering people from sin, sickness, and disease. I'm talking about where they can see it happening. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what. Look at this. In Acts 2, the disciples obeyed. And we see what happened. They prayed. They were in unity. In other words, they were together. They weren't saying, well, I don't understand. Well, I don't understand why you had to buy that big old sign back there. What good's that going to do? It looks good. Praise God. But I'll tell you what. You know what it is? That right there will draw people. That's what people are attracted to today. If you drive down the road, you see them out beside the road, big sign, those things, you know. Hey, we're talking about we got to buy some new television cameras. Oh, well, what's that going to do? Hey, that's going to allow us to stream and have people to, you know, people, I guarantee you, if you start watching the program and the cameras are bad and it's a bad production, you turn it off. Am I right or wrong? I want to reach out with everything I can. I don't care. We need to use every modern day thing that we've got. You hear some of these people talking about, oh, this social media been. Hey, let me tell you what. Our social media department is doing a fantastic job, and we're touching more people because we're reaching out with little bitty bits of stuff. Before you can ever get an animal that you're trying to trap, you got to feed him little bit of stuff here and there and lead him to the trap. Hello? That's what I see social media doing. It is feeding a little here and a little there, putting out a little here and a little there, and then we gonna bring them in. Come on. It's time for us to wake up and realize that when things happen suddenly, it's not because that it's happening with God. It's because all of a sudden we're putting ourselves in a position so the suddenlies can happen. Come on. You know, because of obedience to God's instructions, every one of these had a sudden movement of the power of God. What we need to do is continue to renew our minds with the power, with the God's word. We need to continue to stand strong in our faith. Hello? Well, I don't see nothing happening. I don't care whether you see it or not. Come on, keep doing it. Keep doing what God told you to do, and you'll see something happening. How many of y'all are getting ready to plant a garden this spring? A lot of you are. You know what? You have to get the ground ready. Then you have to plant the seed. And it don't come up overnight. But you do what's necessary to cause that seed to grow. Hello? We need to be out there planting seeds every day in somebody's life. I'm not talking about, are you a Christian? You need to get saved. I'm talking about just planting little seeds, little saying little bits to him. If somebody says something about, well, why are you so happy? Well, I'm happy because I have the life of God, and then go on and talk about something else. Don't even go down the path. That's right. Come on, man. Unless they start asking questions. You'll push them away, but just feed them a little bit. Feed them a little bit. Every time they ask a question, just give them a little bit. You don't want some people going out there trying to get somebody saved, and they choke them to death and before they ever have an opportunity. Come on. They get involved. They don't understand half of what you're talking about. Come on now. I'm not trying to indict anybody. I'm just trying to tell it like it is. You know, Pastor, I don't back off on anything. I tell it like it is, and I've seen it. I've heard it. I've sat and watched it happen. A guy talking to a guy, you know, and then the guy said something, so he said a little bit, and then the guy just sort of shut down, and he kept going and pushing. Finally, the guy got up and walked away. Hello, Paul said that some plant the seed, some water, and some reap the harvest. Do you know that when we reap a harvest of souls coming to be born again in this church, it might not be because I preached a good sermon, or Craig, or Bill, or Zach, or any of them, Denise, Tad, all of our people that preach. It may not be because they preached a good sermon. It may be because somebody has planted the seed and somebody else has watered it, and you're going to reap the harvest. Hello? Thank God. We had a guy come down there. Some of y'all that were here then, he came to when we had church down in the RMA down there. And he came, and he's in his shorts and T-shirt, and he came in and he said, oh, he thought it was a flea market because he saw all these people coming into church. And they said, no, this is a church. And the usher, he said, well, come on in. Oh, I'm not dressed. He said, we don't care about your dress. Come on in. Well, he said he wouldn't do it. You know, in a lot of places, in fact, I read something just recently where a person came to go to a church, and they wanted to go down front, and they said, no, you got to sit back here. And then I read another one where they even turned the person away from coming inside the church. But the story is, the next Sunday he came back to church and we preached, and actually he worked for American Airlines, and he was down here on TDY, temporary duty down here, doing something. And he went back to Chicago, and he couldn't get away from it. And he got back down here, and he said later, I come to the church, and he said, all I was waiting for, he said, I don't even know what you preached. We had a man was singing, and this guy had come. He said, come on home. He's singing a song, Come On Home. The guy came back and got saved. I had planted the seed in a sermon, but he didn't come to hear me preach again. He came because he knew he needed God. And when he walked in the door, the guy was singing, Come On Home, You've Been Gone Too Long. and the guy came and got saved. He said, I don't even know. He said, I just sat on that pew or seat, chair. He said, I sat there waiting for you to give the altar call. I don't even know what you preached on. See, what I'm telling you is, though, but many weeks before, I put out some seed. Actually, the man singing the song, come on home, you've been gone too long. He's the one that actually reaped the harvest. It wasn't me. The guy then came and went to Raymond. He went back and got transferred down here and came to Raymond. But you see what I'm trying to tell you? You get the point that I'm trying to get across to you. Hey, you don't always have to reap the harvest. Just plant the seeds. And then when they're asking you about something, somebody else may have planted a seed. You may, when you're talking to them, you may just be doing a little watering. Come on now. Seed doesn't flourish unless it's watered, right? Come on. You see, we need to renew our minds. We need to have the expression of faith. We need to be faithful in doing what God has called us to. I believe that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days will rise up stronger than ever. I also believe, now this has been prophesied, that the Rhema church worldwide will rise up and be strong. It is prophesied that we will play a major role in the bringing back the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be suddenly to us, but we're going to play the role to get him ready to make that sudden thing happen, because we believe who we are and what we are. We believe what the Word of God says. We're going to live what the Word of God says, and we're going to go out and we're going to bring the net in, and we're going to have the demonstration of the power of God in this place. Hallelujah. I preached long enough. Anybody get anything out of this? I hope you understood. I am trying to stir you up to the fact that it's time for the church to wake up and to get involved in the power and the demonstration of the power of God. Not something that's sung up. Not something that's manipulated. Something that happens just because. You know, I tell you what. If you come to church expecting to have the same thing happen all the time, then it's not going to happen around here. Sometimes we're not going to have any, they're going to be quiet. Sometimes it may be shouting. Sometimes it may be singing. Sometimes it may be something else. But don't come planning, oh, we got to have this in order for the Spirit to move. We don't have to have anything for the Spirit to move, but to have him on the inside of us and letting him express himself on the outside. Hello. Come on now. Everybody stand up and let's praise God. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the demonstration of the power of God that will come into our midst and in our operation. I thank you, Father, that we will open up ourselves to the anointing of the power of God. I thank you, Father, that we will open ourselves up to the demonstration. I thank you, Father, that we will get a heart for the lost. The heart for the lost, to reach out and bring in those that need to be saved. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. You got
Let
something?
Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we settled the question. We've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out. So victory swell for the church. Triumphant is alive and well. Sing that again. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we settled the question. Made our choice. Let the anthems ring out. Song of victory swell for the church. Triumphant is alive and well.
Hallelujah. y'all ever look at Facebook? How many of you do? Come be honest. I don't put nothing on there. I look at it every once in a while, see what's going on. I see all these things and people writing about what's the matter with the church. Anybody see that on there? I don't got no hands up. Hey, instead of talking about what's the matter with the church, become the church. You know, I see people arguing doctrinal points all the time on there. I mean, I don't know. Some of them I'd like to get on and tell them something, but I don't say nothing. And sometimes I see some stuff that some of my Rhema grads are putting on there. You know, hey, it's not helping anybody when you're talking about what we're not doing. I tell you what, if we start doing what the church is supposed to do, then they'll start talking about what the church is doing. And that's when something's going to happen, when the church starts doing what it's supposed to do. Hallelujah. Y'all got anything else y'all want to say? Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of y'all got stirred up with what I had to say this morning? Praise God. Everybody bow your heads for just a minute. Perhaps there is somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let me tell you, you need to know Him. It will make a drastic difference in your life when you accept Jesus Christ. You may be here this morning and you may say, I know what it is to serve God. But I've turned and got on the wrong road, and I need to come make an about face and get back on in track with God. Or you may say, I'm here this morning and I've never been filled with the precious Holy Spirit that you were talking about, and I want that experience of being filled with the Spirit and speaking with tongues. If that's you on any one of those three invitations, I want to see your hand, because I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. So lift your hand anywhere in this room, all over this room. I'm waiting on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the anointing. I don't see any hands. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm talking to the Christians now. I'm talking to you that are spirit-filled. How many of you realize that you've been enjoying all the benefits of being in Christ, but you become slack in doing what you need to do in the area of reaching out to those that are in need, reaching out to those that need to be saved? And you want to go on record with a raised hand and saying, God, I'm sorry. I haven't done everything. I'm not repenting. You're just saying, God, I'm sorry. I need to go on record as saying, lift your hand, and I'm gonna do what I need to do. I'm gonna be the church. How many of you want to keep your eye? Everybody wants to do that, raise your hand. Everybody else, don't look around. You ain't gotta look, see who's raising their hand. Thank you, Lord. Father, for all of these that have got their hands raised, I thank you, Father, that you will minister to them in a very special, special way. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What does she need? Craig, come in here and lay your hands on her. This is Pastor Craig. He's got a special and a healing anointing. We all do. But he prays for the sick. Father, in the name of Jesus, these eyes become well, normal. Thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into these eyes right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that anointing. That anointing. That anointing. Akapatelini. Sono nono bodi. Hallelujah. It's the anointing. It's not what we say or do. It's the anointing. That's what I was just saying. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. I keep hearing that in my spirit. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. It's not what you do or say. It's the anointing that flows from you. As you walk out among the people, let the anointing flow from your face. Let the anointing flow from your words, and you'll see a change in everything that you do and everything around you. Let the anointing flow from within inside of you, and you'll see that things will change, and you'll begin to see that you're walking in a different path, and you're walking in a different light, and now you are seeing some things you've never seen before because you've started to walk in the anointing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Spirit of God trying to tell you, walk in the anointing. If you want to find out something, walk in the anointing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, raise your hands and thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Everybody in here has got the Holy Ghost. Begin to speak in tongues right now. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Ola makishili makatolo moshi. E mando rosanda. Anta pridi kotolo bashiki del mense ke monche. Ambrasele bosondro brose. E ke patala la makasa patala la. Palele makosha parada. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. There's a song that says that. Let's sing it.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Lord, come on, sing it. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. So come on, declare this part out. Let us become. So let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to come to church experiencing the Holy Spirit. Don't come to see what you can get. Come bringing the Holy Spirit with you, on fire, ready to worship, ready to do something. Go out. You see, the ministry's over. The worship is over. When you go out that door, the service begins. Understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. I'm going and grabbing a bite to eat and getting on the plane, and I'll be preaching in Las Vegas tonight at Brother David Sharon's church. What's the name of that church? I forgot what it is. Word of Life in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be there Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Hey, you out there that are watching online, if you got friends in that area, let them know about it, or you yourself come, okay? Staff, go to the doors, please. All right. Also, on Wednesday night, we're going to go down to Chandler, Arizona. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that's the Phoenix area. We'll be there. If you're in that area, come with us. Hey, Connection team, go find a first-time guest and take them out there. We got a special gift we want to give them. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. They're going to sing a song, and then they're going to dismiss you. I'm going to get down that aisle. There's where all the pastors are going to be if you want to see any of us right there. Go ahead, sing.
And you have